This is Louise Elminger. Today's date is June 15th, 1973. The time is 2:30 p.m. I will be interviewing Perry Riddick of the Saginaw Historical Society. Topics to be discussed are history of the Saginaw Historical Society, how it is supported and staffed, some of its functions, goals, and achievements, and outstanding contributions to the Historical Society. Okay, Mr. Riddick, as president of the Saginaw Historical Society, I wonder if you would be kind enough to give us a brief history of that organization.
I'd be delighted to, and first I might say that it is now the Saginaw County Historical Society.
Oh, is that right?
Shortly after I came into office in my first term, this was one of the things that I recommended, mm-hmm. because I knew that in the not distant future, to say the least, that we were moving toward an historic commission, which would be countywide. And since things historical don't really have any boundaries, they just have more meaning to people who may chance to be close at hand, it's well to build a base that lets you operate without building your own restrictions. So we are countywide. And that commission has now been approved by the Board of Commissioners, and an organizational meeting will be held very shortly.
When was it actually brought in existence? Do you have
the museum?
Yes.
Well, the museum started as a an organization. It was a combined organization of the Art Museum and the Historical Museum. They were housed in the Clark Green home, which is now the Art Museum. It appears that there came to be some differences of opinion and some conflict, perhaps, of space and methods and so on. And the decision was made to separate the two. And I would not quote a date, but I would say about 1965, mm-hmm. a new home was acquired for the Historical Museum.
I understand that's the former Passel home.
That is a
quite an interesting history with that.
Quite an interesting history. Yeah. Did they show you the steps where Mr. Passel?
They did not show me, but mm-hmm. They told me about. Just go into that briefly.
Yeah, well, he was a very successful businessman. He had a formula for soap that apparently was well liked. And the story goes that he kept that formula himself, totally to himself, no doubt planning to pass it along to the proper member of the family or whomever he might decide to, mm-hmm. at what he considered the proper time. But he was going down to his basement area where possibly he could have had a laboratory or something, I don't know. But in any event, he met his untimely end on the stairway there. He fell into the basement, and it was a fatal fall. Examination of those steps would indicate how it could have happened. We still use them, but we have put rails on both sides, and we are very careful.
And so his soap formula died with him?
It died with him, and the company died very shortly thereafter. But this home is one of the authentic old homes in the city. It is now on the National Register of Historic Places, and has certain protections that go along with that registration. Mm-hmm. So we are proud of our home, and we're proud of the fact that we have the means now to protect it from mm-hmm. the wreckers fall or whatever might threaten it.
Mm-hmm. Is the museum run entirely by donations, or how is it supported?
Well, donations, if you use the term broadly, would be the proper description. Mm-hmm. By that I mean time, funds.
That goes as far everything. As administrative staff.
Yes, we have no paid staff. The real operating arm of the museum is the Ladies' Guild. Some 3 years ago, perhaps, my wife, who has been very active in the Historical Museum as a volunteer, recommended that a guild be established because we were using the services of many of the people who now are members of the guild, but there was no organizational structure. It was just a matter of get on the phone and call so-and-so and see if she can come at this time and that time and so on. So they decided to establish the guild as a working arm of the Society and Museum. This was done, and it has been very active, and their accomplishments are legion. You can just see that these are people who care and people who have their various qualifications. Some have acquired a surprising interest and expertise in things historic, and it's growing. There is good feeling, there is good cooperation, and while we recognize that we do need paid personnel, people with special training and with special equipment, we have taken a rather slow approach, I suppose you could say, because we recognize that some other important changes are possibly in the immediate offing again. In other words, there are a number of important developments in the historic preservation field, and some of us have been trying to anticipate how some of these acts and so on might affect our operation and our base of operations.
I see.
Which leads me really to one of our prime objectives, which is to preserve and properly utilize the old post office, commonly known as the Castle Post
Right.
Office.
I did plan on asking you a few things about that. I know that is one goal that you are involved in, and are you optimistic about this goal of preservation of the old Castle Post Office?
Indeed we are, and to explain and further emphasize our optimism, I think a little background there might be helpful.
Yes, we appreciate that.
Now, the under the National Preservation Act, which carries back a good many years, there has been certain means with federal government participation of locating, adequately describing, and where there was sufficient initiative at the local level, set up a framework to preserve some of these historic structures, mm-hmm. particularly. Sites in themselves may get covered with something not appropriate and so on, but they don't disappear because they're strictly physical in character, but structures that happens to be in the way of progress, as we sometimes see progress, have been fair game,
yes.
as you know, for demolition or misuse or whatever fate.
It's a little sad sometimes to see these old buildings come down.
Yes, what might befall them. In 1966, it was recognized by the Congress that more emphasis needed to be put on historic preservation. So there was further legislation and further methods developed of implementing and promoting the basic purpose of the National Register and Historic Preservation Act. from this came recommendations from Congress to the various states, certain guidelines suggested to them that might help the states to organize so that they could be an arm or one of the vital parts, really, in the whole historic preservation process. This suggestion was accepted by the state of Michigan and most other states, if not all now, mm-hmm. as being worthy, and the state of Michigan moved to implement it. In 1970, the final form was established, and work that had been done prior to that time was recognized, given its proper rating as the management group saw it, and an urgent request was put out to the various counties or historic districts, of which we had only two, I believe, at that time, that we get on with the work of historic preservation. Now, in that context, a committee was appointed called an Historical Survey Commission, working in conjunction with the Saginaw County Planning Commission to perform those services in Saginaw County. I was a member of that committee, and we labored as much as time and know-how would permit us, and came up with 42 sites or structures that we felt were worthy of serious consideration, worthy to the point that we proposed that they be listed and recognized as historic sites or places, as the case may be. That list contained a number of sites or places that had been previously recommended by people who were interested in historical matters. So this is really, this list is an updating of the work of those that came before us who had the same interest. We now do have these 42 sites. We have concluded the work of that particular committee. Some personnel from that committee is now on the committee appointed by the chairman of the Board of Commissioners to carry on under the Saginaw County Historical Commission. There is much work to be done. As a matter of fact, the more we get done, the more we realize needs to be done. So we must broaden our base. We must attract more of the young people. We have established now what we think are very functional contacts with Saginaw Valley College through Professor Jezierski as a member of our Board of Trustees, and Mr. Gary Duro of the Bridgeport Schools, and an instructor in their adult education classes with particular expertise in matters historic and in antiques of certain types and so on. So we feel that that we are broadening our base. We know from the attendance at the museum, from the participation by members and non-members, that the trend is one of increasing awareness and appreciation of things historic.
Well, that's wonderful. Getting back just for a moment to the Old Castle Post Office, I'm curious about if the main building, the main structure and outside appearance remain the same, what are some alternatives that purposes that the interior might be used for?
Well,
what would you like personally to see done with it?
As a general statement, I would like to see it become the cultural historical hub
I see.
From Saginaw County.
Do you foresee that the county museum would be moved to this site?
And I do foresee this possibility. I do recognize that in keeping with the study of history, we tend sometimes to try to confine it to a specific thing or a specific boundary. I'm sure that there exists today considerable appreciation and a certain fondness for our present home.
Yes, I can see that.
I'm sure that everyone involved in the art museum would not jump for joy on first approach to combining those two facilities, for instance. Mm-hmm. However, their interest and the interest of the Historic Commission, the interest of the various groups in Saginaw County, in the city of Saginaw, and out of the city of Saginaw, really all are inspired from the same source, and that's the needs, the requirements of our people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how can we best serve them? Here we have in the Castle Post Office a structure that is beyond any reasonable contemplation of any group, individual group, however worthy, being able to provide for themselves. The area is adequate for a great many things. The need for proper display areas for art, historical objects, documents, all these different things, the right kind of storage, the right kind of preservative techniques, all of these things require expertise. They require the proper physical conditions or capabilities. Then the particular techniques themselves must be applied. So in looking down the road, we can see how these two organizations that I've just mentioned can complement each other. We can see where this structure, one of the most historic structures anywhere in the country, the only authentic example of this type of architecture reportedly in the United States, modeled directly from the estate of the de Tocqueville family, and that estate is still one of the prizes, one of the prides of southern France.
Oh, how interesting.
There are just many, many reasons to strive to retain and to properly utilize.
Yes. It's a very unique building, and I'm sure many people would be very disappointed if they ever did take it down.
Well, as I think I mentioned to you in our Get Acquainted comments, I'm not a native of Saginaw.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that impressed me most when I came here as a very young man was the Castle Post Office. I couldn't imagine a post office having the architectural elegance and the style, although I was not expert in things architectural, I could plainly see that this was a very unusual structure.
It just didn't look like the average post office.
No. I made it a point to pursue matters of the post office a bit, and my interest has grown since that time. Now, getting back to how do we propose to use it, a study has been made by the Planning Commission in conjunction with the Historic Commission, Survey Commission. And general outlines have been drawn. We feel that this should be a focal point, as I said earlier, for things historic, art, community organizations. And just recently in a meeting with the downtown executives, one of the things expressed by almost everyone present was the need of an auditorium if you will, a meeting place that was did not require the amount of space, for instance, of the new Civic Center, that would not be priced out of reach of the average organization who would want to use such facilities, who would like to be able to present their particular organization and their particular objectives in a central area where people could get to it with ease, where it could become a drawing card. And I know that there, this whole question of personal safety and all of these things do enter into the picture, but we know too that we found that running away from our problems rarely solves them. They seem to get there about the time we do, sometimes to get there ahead of us. The things are changing in the downtown area. I have no particular love. My sources of revenue and so on are outside the city, so I trust I'm not unduly prejudiced in that area. But I do recognize that it is the central core. I do recognize that as the new Genesee Bridge is opened, as the Congress Street Bridge comes into being, that this will be one of the most accessible places that you could ever imagine from all directions. I have no misgivings about the security that will be provided, because it will be far more easy to provide it there than it will in areas that are dispersed over very considerable acreages and so on. This is one of the things that we are learning the hard way, we might say. There can be, under the Historic Preservation Act, almost any use of a structure that is not in conflict with the basic purposes of historic preservation, that does not alter architectural integrity. Now, this is primarily exterior. Inside, it is possible under the requirements or the guidelines to make almost any arrangement that contributes to the utilization of the structure to make it a viable entity that can support itself with the revenues and the patronage that it encourages and generates. This is a basic concept. We're well aware that you can't take every structure, regardless, just because it may have historic value or appeal to someone's particular nostalgic ideas. It still has to have some economic justification, too. And I think due thought has been given to this, due weight has been given to this matter of economic feasibility. We do think we can preserve it. We do think we can utilize it. We do think it can become a source of pride for this entire area. And we feel further that it can become a national generator of tourist visitations, of special study groups. There's many things that can happen and should happen with the proper utilization of the Castle Post Office.
That reminds me, is it true that this building has received national recognition? I seem to remember reading somewhere
in a
national paper of some kind.
Yes, it has received national recognition and international recognition in everything from Ripley's Believe It or Not to the most profound architectural journals and throughout the world, really, and I've been fortunate enough to travel a bit. You can find, and I have found people, oh, you're from Saginaw, that's where that post office is, and it's very easy to get into a very animated conversation. It is unique, absolutely. It, I mean, we are fortunate in that the materials and everything used in that post office were of the absolute highest quality obtainable. We still have the original working drawings as well as the architectural plans. It was completely remodeled insofar as upgrading utilities, wiring, all of these things not too many years ago, and is in excellent condition. So we have an opportunity. The question is, can we generate the public response that's necessary to take advantage of it? And I think we can.
Oh, I think so too. Well, what are some of the outstanding achievements of the Saginaw Historical Society, as you recall, during your association with it or before? Something that might stand out in your memory?
Well, I believe I would have to say that the outstanding achievement, since I've been actively associated with the Historical Society and Museum, has been the interest that has been generated in things historic, because this is how it all happens. Now, just within the last two or three weeks, I have been contacted by people who had items of various types, some of very great historic import to the city of Saginaw. They had not been fully aware up to this time that there was an organization who could receive, protect, and properly display certain items that they considered valuable. They did not necessarily know how someone else might regard them. But several of these have come into our possession in just the last little while. One of them, a charcoal drawing of the first Jesse Hoyt planing mill. Now, this dates back to our very early history. It's been passed down from generation to generation in this family. It comes from a relative of Jesse Hoyt. Mm-hmm. And it's priceless so far as our local history is concerned. It also artistically is excellent. And from this same course came a beautiful oil painting of one of the ladies of the family of that generation, of the first Mershon actually in the city of Saginaw. And if you check Saginaw history, you'll find the Mershons date from very early days and have always played a very important part. So the growing awareness, I think, fact that the governmental area, they have recognized now that it's important that we do preserve and protect, that we do establish our heritage in a manner that the children coming up can see and hopefully understand. And the attendance that we have from the intermediate school grades is one of the most gratifying things that happened to us. I stopped in on routine business on Tuesday of this week, and upstairs and down, I tried to find at least one place where I could discuss with Mr. Strobel something that was important at the moment, but all the rooms were filled. Well, and there was enthusiasm, and this is the way we often are.
That's wonderful.
We book them, and we try to restrict the numbers to a manageable number, but it seems that those you don't anticipate also pick that day, too, when you're booked to capacity.
Well, I'm sure that does make you happy, though, that the younger children are taking an interest in think if you instill this in them at an early age, they're more likely to keep up an interest in our past, I'm sure.
If you can have the privilege, I would call it, of following a group of youngsters through that museum, listening to their comments, reflecting for a moment on their questions, it's surprising how much they do get out of these things and how much you get out of them. I don't think I've ever come to a group that someone didn't ask me a question that no one else had before.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're constantly having to grapple with your capability of being able to answer them, mm-hmm. to satisfy them.
Mm-hmm.